Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, what about Johnny O, huh? What about John Osier? What about the
How could I forget
writer?
Johnny O?
Jaguars.com.
Eminently forgettable.
How did that happen, Johnny O? Quiet weekend it must have been.
Yeah.
Were you not breaking news this weekend? Is that why you were out of sight, out of mind with Tyler right there?
Doing some... A lot of news monitoring. On the website, there's not a whole lot we can do this time simply because we don't and can't report speculation as news on the site. So you're just sort of monitoring it, which is not it's not ideal. We'd like to do more, but that's sort of the nature.
What about the ozone? The ozone is rife with speculation.
Oh, there's a little speculation there, sure.
Yeah.
I think there's a little speculation in that noggin of yours. That
Mine? That's all
yours.
I do is speculate. Are you kidding me?
I say, welcome to the radio.
News.
Speculate away,
I've been
John.
Speculating for 15 years yeah. here, man. This is nothing new. Welcome in, everybody. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It was a wild weekend and not a good one on a lot of fronts if you're a Jag fan, because a lot of the guys that you felt like were considerations that either A, you wanted your team to pursue, or B, your team was going to pursue, or both, came off the market before you really had a chance to see
sure.
those guys on the market, right? And a case in point, a guy we've been talking about before the show today, Devin McCourty
mm-hmm.
of the New England Patriots, who, and I said this over the last several weeks, I said, if the Jags swing and miss on some guys, I hope it gets publicized, that it gets out there, because there's nothing you can do. What do you want to be, angry at the Jags if they take a swing at Devin McCourty or Randall Cobb and they decide, you know what? All right, here's what we're going to get. We're going to get X. I can get 95% of X to say with my own team,
yeah.
which is a Super Bowl contender this year, and I know the situation I'm playing in. I don't know what more you can do other than get completely fiscally irresponsible and offer a guy $5 million more a
right.
year than he's worth.
No, I mean, my understanding is they took a good run at Cobb. All reports are they took a very good run at McCourty.
McCourty's been saying, and McCourty yeah. and his agent have been talking to everybody, saying the exact same thing,
right.
saying, wow, we were shocked at the level of interest Jacksonville
yeah.
had.
So when you're comfortable as a player and you know what to expect, as you said, McCourty, it's hard to pull a guy out of his environment if that's where he wants to be. Because they can keep going back to the former team and saying, this is what I'm getting, this is what I'm getting. And if the former team gets close, the thought of not having to move, the thought of knowing that you fit in with the system, and there is certainly a huge risk in free agency for a player on the field when they switch teams and switch systems. Now, McCourty's good enough, you would think that wouldn't be an issue, but the history is rife with guys who that is an issue for. So if the money's close and you can stay with your current team and have that career there, anybody wants that unless their current team is a miserable situation.
Right. And look, I like the fact that he seemed to be interested in listening. And in fact, Doug Ferrara, Sports Illustrated, reported, didn't say the Jags specifically, said that McCourty had an offer that he was ready to accept.
Mm-hmm.
The description was both feet out the door. I mean, he was gone. Called New England to say, okay. And kind of not only just to say, hey, I'm leaving, but also you want to take one more
shot. Yeah, give one more shot.
Right? And that's kind of what you're doing. But he was saying, look, I've got this. This is what I got. And unless you can close the gap a lot closer than you've been willing to up until this point, I'm gone. For all we know, that team was the Jags. Now,
sure.
my feeling is it may have been Philadelphia, who he's also mentioned with, because he talked a lot about how much winning was
right.
important to him, although he did say, this is McCourty now, said that he thought all the teams he listened to, and that includes Jacksonville, laid out a very good plan for why he felt they were going to be able to win in the short term,
mm-hmm.
win a lot quicker maybe for a team like Jacksonville than the public at large
sure.
would expect. So you like to hear that. Ultimately, you'd like to hear Devin McCourty, new Jacksonville Jaguar.
Sure, that's what you want to hear.
That's not going to be the case.
Again, and I know people got tired of hearing me talk
you?
Last week
yeah,
about how guys were going to get re-signed, and I'm always surprised when a guy of the McCourty or Cobb level doesn't re-sign with his former team, because that's just how the system is played. If the team wants those guys back, they can usually find a way to do it, and as it happened over the weekend, it happened several times.
Yeah, and I think, though, John, and where I do understand, because we've talked about this, I feel like we're going over some of the same ground, but that's okay. Not everybody hears every moment of these conversations, that, yes, there's a disappointment level. I was disappointed when Randall Cobb re-signed with Green Bay. I want him in Jacksonville. But it's far different than if the Jags made some cursory, non-competitive offer just to say we did, and they weren't in the ballpark. Apparently, they, with those guys, Cobb as well, and McCourty, they were definitely willing to spend maybe even more than anybody else out there.
Right.
You got to have two to tango. They have to want to take your offer. In the case of Julius Thomas, indications are it's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and again, bear in mind that, you know, until that name is on the dotted line, everything is still fluid. But, you know, the people reporting Julius Thomas, you know, the core people reporting, I would say, Jason Cole was the first one to do it yesterday, are guys with quality NFL sources who are usually right. So I don't see any reason to think that won't happen. But again, if it doesn't, if it's not done, it's not done.
No, this is true, and that goes for that matter, Ndamukong Suh going to Miami is not done until it's done. Although
that one sounds pretty done.
Most of them really sound pretty done. And, Tony and I were talking about this. Why the charade? Why? I mean, the rules on this three-day window are you can't negotiate numbers. You can't make an offer. Of course.
You can present numbers, but it can't be an offer.
So what is that? I mean, here's
I got to think Sue went, wow, those are great parameters.
Right. Here's what we're willing to pay you.
We'd say 6 years.
$114
million. Yeah.
It may not be an offer, but it was a heck of a parameter.
I'd say $60 million that were guaranteed.
$60 million.
And you'll get that in the first 3 years of the deal. But don't consider this an offer. I mean, of course there are offers being
made. Yeah, I mean, I think the aim is just to have a structure that you can still... It seems silly, but I think the aim is to have a three-day period where it's less committing and that the teams can go back and forth. Meaning the teams can go back and forth with the player and have more of a window. I think it certainly sets up a scenario where the existing team gets three more days of a chance to get that player back than maybe the original plan was set out to do.
You almost wonder if it works in the contrary to the way it should, where this guy can, and it's good for the player regardless, because they get to take those offers, take them back to the team, and get them reinterested.
It probably takes some of the pressure off the situation, I would say.
Well, if free agency opened up on Saturday, Randall Cobb, hey, here's the offer. I'm just making up the numbers.
Take it or leave it.
Boom. $12 million, take it or leave it. Right. When you walk out that door, you pick up the phone to call the Packers, offers off the table.
It's harder to, I would guess that it's harder to do a take it or leave it situation or a take or leave it conversation. And you don't have that scenario where guys are flying in and you're seeing people say, well, they're not going to let them get out of town.
Right, don't let them get out of the building.
Yeah, so you don't, I would guess that changes the dynamic a little bit.
I think that now becomes the dynamic for the second wave of free agency, right? Because those guys are still going to go through that. They're going to sit back, twiddle their thumbs as the big names come off, or if enough big names come off at your position, you then become a big name in relatively compared to who's available out there. But once that first few days go by, I think that's when you're going to see a lot more of those visits coming in to play. We'll get into a lot of things today, free agency-wise, which officially opens up tomorrow at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So 30 hours from now, the Jags will have signed Julius Thomas 7 minutes ago, is everyone's prediction right now. At least that seems to be the indication. What about Brian Bulaga? What about others that Jags may be interested in? What about DeMarco Murray? We'll discuss those guys as well today. What about some of the decisions by some of the free agents and the teams they apparently have agreed to terms with? We were talking about $11 million for Jeremy Maclin to go to Kansas City to play with a coach that he's played before, but who never utilized him to the degree that Chip Kelly utilized him in Philadelphia, and he's going to get more than Randall Cobb. I understand the dynamic. Cobb is on a team where he's already got a $10 million receiver, basically, so he and Jordy Nelson are both around the same tax bracket, and the Kansas City Chiefs didn't have a single touchdown reception from a wide receiver last year. So they hope that Jeremy Maclin's able to get him into the end zone a little bit more. It's not exactly a risk-taking offense, though, that drives the ball down the field with Alex Smith. But you wonder if Maclin's going to be utilized to his fullest for $11 million a year.
Well, and again, that's why so often, you know, fit and so often, you know, free agents that look fantastic in March and April, you're left wondering what happened in October. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that doesn't work that way with Maclin, but that's the sort of scenario that you often see where it just doesn't work out the way you thought it would. And, you know, who knows?
All right, today, the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Which potential free agent, because guys like Cobb never really made it to free agency. They were headed there, but got signed on. So which potential free agent, if all the reports are true, are you most disappointed that the Jags will miss out on? You got Ndamukong Suh, looks like he's going to Miami, Randall Cobb, Devin McCourty, anybody else out there, and we'll see how the chips fall over the next 30 hours or so if the Jags are able to add any other big-name guys to the first wave of free agency. Expected to get a deal done with Julius Thomas tomorrow, but as we've said, nothing's official until it's official. Tyson Alualu re-ups with the Jags. We hope to catch up with him about an hour from now on the program as he's back for his second contract here in Jacksonville. Can he have some new running mates on the defensive line? We'll talk about that as well. Where do the Jags go with free agency with some of the bigger name players already lining up to go elsewhere or to remain with their same teams? Tweet us your thoughts today, MD_1010XL. For me, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
If you're getting somebody, and I know it's the NFL and the business, but if you're getting somebody to come in here just for the money, that's hard. You understand that they're coming in because of that. That's a big factor. But you also hope you bring people in that believe what you believe. Because if they're coming in what you believe, if they believe what you believe, they're going to put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. And that's the type of people that we're looking for.
Gus Bradley appearing on Jaguars Today last Friday. That was a lot of fun last Friday.
That was cool, yeah.
I had Gus in here multiple times as he was, like everyone else, always waiting on Maurice Jones-Drew. He's got to wait for MJD.
Haven't we all?
Right. And but it was very cool to have Maurice on at the end of the show and have Gus sit in and just sit back and let him.
I was just glad Maurice decided to put on some underwear before he talked.
Well, I don't know if he really did, to be honest with you. You know, and truly, John, the first couple of years I did the show with him on Sirius. The first year we used to do it out at Sneakers at the beach. Okay. After that, we each had what's called an ISDN line in our house. It's a broadcast setup in our house. So he'd be at his house, I'd be at my house, and that continued with him out in California. And if you listen closely, you'd hear the of the buttons on the game console controller that he's rapidly playing as he did the radio show. Yeah. So you've come a long way, baby, MJD, at least put the sticks down.
Yeah, he's going to him and say, look, throw me a bone. We're paying for
2 hours. Yeah. 2 hours.
2 hours.
Minimal focus. I'll carry it for most of it.
Right.
Just don't make it obvious that you're playing.
Because you're probably
of
making a lot more for that show than he is.
Oh, there's
right?
no question. I don't know. I think he just does it to get experience.
Sure.
It's probably the way it goes.
Very giving of his time, that way.
I think so. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Are you one of these people? I don't know. I don't live on Twitter on the weekends. I was on peeking around. Apparently, you and Tony said it was just a bunch of people lining
up on the
minefield
out there, buddy.
On the ledge, ready to leap.
Yeah, you know, I stay off of it a little bit at this time because there's not much that we can say until these things are official.
So are there any fake Osier accounts, by the way? Like John and the O
is a
zero.
I think the real one might be fake.
It might be, right?
Not that I know of, but I'm sure you saying that, I'm sure we'll see one in a few minutes.
I think we need a fake Johnny O account, an Ozone account.
It's got the S before the H.
That's an easy one, right?
Yeah.
Or you just put a zero instead of the O for his last name or something like that. I still don't understand how people get sucked in by the fake Adam Schefters and Ian Rappaport. Now, who starts following them in the first place to even get them in your timeline? How does that happen?
I'm sure those guys probably send, I don't deliver a primer on how to do it, but I'm sure they probably send They probably troll the national guys. Every once in a while, they get retweeted. Somebody follows it. I mean, stuff like that can happen, but, yeah, I don't.
I guess, but I looked at one that one of our buddies, Christoph, over in England, got sucked into because I think it said, as it turned out, Cobb went re-signed with Green Bay, but initially it was Cobb's agent has been on the phone with the Raiders since noon, right, on Saturday for, like, hours, and they're just working out the contract terms. They're not going to let him off the phone until they have a deal in place, something along these lines. And so I look because I didn't recognize the site, and this website is citing Pro Football Talk, and I'm like, really? So I go to PFT, and I'm looking. There's nothing on there, and it's a fake Pro Football Talk account with like 100 followers.
Right.
How does anyone get sucked into that anymore? If you see a story, especially now, if it's an NFL story, make sure if the guy's a national media guy, should at least have, I don't know, 20,000, 30,000 followers, you would think, right?
Yeah, if it's a guy that's credible, he's going to have the check mark when you click
through. The check mark often. He's going to
be certified.
I don't have one, so I'm not credible.
Right, but he's going to be certified. So you just got to click and see how many followers and if they're certified. I saw one tweet this weekend that there was an article that Pro Football Talk put up talking about Byron Maxwell. And there was a quote from Maxwell in the title of the article, the link to the article that said, you know, I'm going to Philly. Like, that was the quote from Byron Maxwell. So somebody had taken that headline and they had switched it to say Devin McCourty says I'm going to Jacksonville. And I saw the article and I clicked through. I was like, this is crazy. I've not seen this on Profile. And I clicked through and it was just the Byron Maxwell article, but somebody was trying to get you to retweet that he was going to Jacksonville. Devin McCourty was going to Jacksonville. You have to be careful with that kind of stuff. But this kind of weekend for me is fun on Twitter, because there is so much conflicting information that comes out, and you're trying to pick out the pieces that are real or aren't real. And honestly, I don't mind it when fans get salty. I kind of enjoy it.
I don't mind rumors, but I want real rumors, if that makes sense. You know, I don't want rumors based on some fake Twitter account. I want rumors based on, hey, I'm hearing. So, you know, Ian Rappaport is literally reporting, hey, I'm hearing X. And it may turn out to not be true, but I enjoy that kind of rumor. I don't enjoy Adarn Schefter.
That's right. Mercedes is getting traded, according to
some of these other guys. Right. Yeah. Some people got sucked into that one, Pete Prisco. We're looking right at you, pal, as far as that goes. All right. We got some calls on the line, so let's get to them to start things off. Got to get into DeMarco Murray as well. Do you think the pursuit is going to be legit? Brian Bulaga. Thomas Bulaga Murray wouldn't be a bad trio, right?
I think Murray pursuit is much realer than Bulaga.
Much realer. So you don't think that's John Osier saying you don't think they're pursuing Bulaga. Am I reading that correctly?
I'd be surprised if that happened.
All right. So that again, he not definitive, but I am going to tell you that John Osier is reporting. I'm just joking.
It sounds like the Murray thing has a lot of wheels.
I've seen the Jags name,
but there's so
in
much
connection with Jeremy Parnell a few times. Don't know if it's true or not, but I've seen it that the Jags are pursuing or are interested in the Dallas Cowboy tackle.
Really, since Randall Cobb got signed, you haven't seen anything attached to Bulaga.
Right.
There is nothing out there on
Bulaga. And the feeling in Green Bay is now that Green Bay went north of a number they were said to not be interested in going north of to re-sign Cobb, that Bulaga is almost a mortal lock to be out the door and not be back if he sticks to what he wants, which is something around $7.5 million a year to play tackle.
We'll see.
We'll see, in fact, coming up in the next 30 hours or so, more than likely. All right, let's get some calls going. Let's start with Jerome this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
What's up?
To answer your, y'all's question, I think Devin was the one they I don't know, but I think that's the one that they should have – they didn't hit on, or they missed.
Is it a miss if you offer more money than the team he opts to sign with?
It's not necessarily a miss. It's not necessarily, I wouldn't say it's a miss. I say they gave a try. I wouldn't say it's a miss. I think only they could say if it's a miss or not.
I would say if
they could have ended up a little bit more.
It seems, though, that, again, if you're Devin McCourty, it's easy for us to say, right?
Sure.
What's the difference between another $1 million? It's $1 million. It's a lot of difference to me. But you're playing for the Super Bowl champs. you know, who still think they're in a championship window, you're going to get close to the same amount of money. As John said, all the comforts, you don't have to move, you don't have to relocate your family, all these things. You know you're a perfect fit for what they want to do.
And in that situation, there's also a body of work there that stands to reason that you're going to be, you know they're where you are, and you know that you're going to, or you're pretty sure you're going to be playing for a contender. They've been contending for a long, long time. And until Brady leaves, you're going to contend. And he knows, he's had success there. He's seen it work. That's a different thing than going to a new place and having
hoping it works, right.
And having faith and believing strongly. But all those things aren't a comfort level. So you're going to stay with your comfort level if it's close.
Jerome, what do you think about the news that apparently the Jags are going to get a deal done with Julius Thomas?
Oh, man, I think it's great. I really do. I think it's going to help Bortles. It'll give him another weapon. I think it'll take a little pressure off of him knowing that he'll have a trust factor right there with a tight end that can catch like that in a mismatch. I think that would be nice for him. And I see where the Jaguars are going after Murray. I think that right there, when you upgrade that running back position like that, if they can block for him, I think that would take so much off of Bortles. And
Thanks, Jerome.
And it's interesting, again, when we talk about Murray, so much is fluid. I don't think that's a done deal at all. That's one to
monitor.
I don't
think anyone suggested that.
I think there's a chance. But it is interesting that the Murray one, even more than Thomas, feels like, all right, we've got some money. We've got a situation where we could upgrade. Let's see if we can get involved with this. Let's see if we can do it. I think the Thomas one makes sense because you have to have a receiving tight end. They would have probably done that with a less friendly cap situation. The Murray one feels like this is one where we can take a swing.
And you can
Let's
structure
see if
it.
We can do it.
So the pain,
right.
The financial
Normally,
pain
I wouldn't
hits
think
the
you would pay a
years.
Running back like that.
I wouldn't either.
If you follow me.
It's crazy right now. As much, I read a story.
You're down on LeSean McCoy.
I'm down on $16 million for LeSean McCoy this year. I read a story that says...
You know who's a big fan of that?
LeSean McCoy is a big fan of that. I know, all right? And the story goes that this just shows you how much running backs are devalued in the NFL.
It shows you how much money there is.
When he gets traded for Kiko Alonso, who's coming off a torn ACL, that was the gist of the story. And I'm like, wait a minute. And this story was written after the reports that he's getting his deal restructured. Doesn't look like the Buffalo Bills are saying that's a devalued position in the NFL.
No.
They gave up a player, and they're going to pay him $16 million this year when he already had a contract. That's one thing I never get. We got to make sure LeSean is properly motivated. What, the $10 or $12 million weren't enough motivating dollars to get him to play hard? I just don't understand that. So let's give him 16 when we already own his rights and we're not bidding against anybody. Was he not going to show up and play football for the Buffalo Bills this year? I mean, guarantee this year's salary if you want to. I just thought that was kind of dumb. But
I guess it's a good faith gesture, but it's one heck of a good faith
gesture. Right. I mean, but then on the other end, you got Mark Ingram signs a four-year deal to stay in New Orleans for $16
million. And
so he's getting $4 million a year.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been that much. I mean, let's say the guarantee was half of that, right? Maybe even 10. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, 4 years, $4 million per on average. That's a little bit more than Toby Gerhardt got. And it's a little surprising to me that Ingram would re-sign under those circumstances when McCoy just blew the top off the running back market like that. So, I mean, that to me makes me wonder how much it's going to take to really lure DeMarco Murray in. What are you willing to pay him? Is it going to be $10 million a year? I mean, Dallas was said to not want to go much north of $4 million a year for him, which I think is kind of crazy based on his stature compared to a guy like Mark Ingram. But what's it going to take now? I mean, Marshawn Lynch got a big deal. McCoy got a new deal, mm-hmm. Fresh money. And DeMarco Murray, outside of Le'Veon Bell, those were the two best running backs in the league last year.
Yeah, the running back thing is so new, in a sense, so surprising. Because it had been being devalued, and now all of a sudden you've got a league that seems to be sort of going crazy at the position.
I think there's flush with cap space is what
yeah.
it is, right? I mean, the cap goes up as much as it does, John, goes up like $20 million this year, right?
Well, as you said, it'll be interesting to see whoever does sign Murray, what the length, how much guarantee is in the first couple of years with the idea of how long the two sides, especially the team, thinks that level of productivity is going to be there.
Get
what you're going to be willing to pay for that projection.
Go get a new right tackle, okay, whoever that is. There's still several of them out there.
Sure.
Go get a new right tackle. Hand the ball to DeMarco Murray 20 times a game. You got Julius Thomas. You got an added year of development from these young wide receivers. Because right now, outside of Crabtree, I mean, who are you going to make a run at wide receiver? There may be a guy. To me, a guy like Andre Holmes is interesting because
right.
he's cheap. He got tendered at like $1.5 million by the Oakland Raiders with no compensation if he signs anywhere else. That guy's got some speed. He can make plays down the field, and he's only going to cost you a couple million bucks a season. You know, that's the kind of guy I think they might look at perhaps to supplement this wide receiver core. But it's no longer going to be, it appears, a big name guy.
Yeah, you were
running out of big name guys.
And again, even with Cobb, it was going to be interesting to see exactly where and what role he played and who played outside. He was better, you know. So it was going to be interesting to see how that played out. I'm not completely uncomfortable with having these young guys at the core and allowing them to grow.
All right, let's get back to the phone. 641-1010. Garrett, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
The things I want to talk about are two things. So I don't think people realize the impact of signing Thomas, because you're going to have him and Marcedes Lewis, two big physical tight ends who are great in run blocking, and you go out and get Murray. That opens up the run game too, to play action pass too, because you're going to have too many playmakers on the field to worry about one or two guys like we had last year, which they already knew who we were going to throw the ball to.
Okay, what was your other point you wanted to make? Because I don't completely agree with the first point, but go ahead.
I think Caldwell's a tricky GM on misleading people on who they want to draft, and I really think that they're going to go draft Amari Cooper, because our defense ain't that bad, and they improved a lot last year, and I think they're only going to get better. And this league is an offensive league, and you go out and get a playmaker like Cooper, it's going to open up other wide receivers to catch the ball more and score more touchdowns.
All right. I mean, that's possible, certainly, that they could go that direction. There's been a lot of talk in the last 24 hours. I say a lot. There's been several reports that now that Sue is seemingly out of the picture, whether the Jags were really going to pursue him hard or not, that Jared Odrick of Miami is a guy that is drawing interest from Jacksonville. He's only 27 years old, better run defender than he is penetrator. But you re-sign Tyson Alualu, right? Let's say you bring in Jared Odrick. Let's say you like the depth of the defensive line class in the draft. You know, maybe you pick up a guy at the top of the second round. It wouldn't be a Leonard Williams type, obviously, but, you know, with what you have already, maybe you go out and sign another defensive lineman in free agency in addition to that. We don't know. You know, a lesser guy, George Johnson out of Detroit, something like that. Who knows? Maybe they do go that direction.
Still be surprised if they don't go pass rusher if they stay at three.
I don't think it's going to be Randy Gregory from everything I see now with every report on this guy. I mean, I don't know if he can play any bigger, that much bigger than he is. He swears he can put on 30 pounds, and why don't you go do it and go work out for pro scouts
talk to
like
there,
that.
I think he can put on weight over time. But yeah, I'm not thinking they're going to draft Gregory.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
like that. In terms of the previous caller's first point, Julius Thomas isn't going to help you that much in the run game. He's not a big guy who's going to do – I mean, that's not going to be his thing. But if you had Lewis and Thomas as a complimentary tight end package, that does make sense to me.
Per a report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that was cited on Big Cat Country, the Jaguars – listed as one of the teams showing the most interest in Brian Bulaga, by the way. Jacksonville, Washington, and Tampa. This, again, according to original report, was from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yeah, so, that report came out right after Cobb signed. When Cobb signed that extension, that report came out. Washington, Tampa, Jacksonville interested in Bulaga. That was late on Saturday night that came out. And yesterday there was not a peep about Brian Bulaga anywhere. It's been weird with that guy.
I got that tweet too. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll all see.
I've been wrong before. I'm
hopefully starting
there
tomorrow. Let me get Ian in before we break here. Ian, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I guess I was most bummed that we didn't land McCourty, but I kind of had a feeling we weren't going to the whole time. So I've been looking at other options at free safety. And pretty much the guys that are toward the top left is Raheem Moore, the kid Searcy from Buffalo, and then the one guy that's still there that I've actually seen the Jags link to is Parker from Kansas City. So I just wanted your guys' opinion on if we'd go after one of them three, or do you think maybe we're going to try and find someone in the draft? My opinion is I kind of like Searcy from what I've read up on these three candidates here.
Right. You love Moore, right, Mike?
I do not love Raheem Moore. Ron Parker's a guy that is primarily has been a cornerback, but filled in for Eric Berry when he missed time. He missed a lot of time with Kansas City this year.
From what you hear, played better at safety than he did at corner.
He's got good size as well. And, you know, I've been saying, look, I'm not saying you make him the foundation of your team, but Antrell Roll to me is a guy. I just love the way he plays. I love his attitude. I love what he would bring. Don't know if you could prime away and get him to come to a team that would be seen maybe as being in a rebuilding phase, whatever the case may be. But, yeah, I don't think just because you miss out on McCourty, clearly they prioritized him. From everything McCourty's saying and everything that his agent is saying, the Jags made a serious run at the guy. So they know they need to upgrade there. But what's going to happen now, they're going to turn their attention or continue to focus their attention on Murray, if they're interested in Murray, on Bulaga, if they're interested in him, the bigger name guys that you need to take care of in the next day or so, or they're going to come off the board of somebody else. And once the dust settles on that, let's say they walk out with Julius Thomas and DeMarco Murray and some offensive tackle, right? May not be Brian Bulaga, whoever it is. Well, then you let things settle down, let the market kind of settle, let a few more guys get overpaid that you think are out of your tax bracket, and then you start plucking off the bargains. Doesn't mean you can't find a starting caliber safety out there if you're the Jags and you feel like you need to upgrade the position. It's just not going to be a $10 million a year player like they hope to sign with McCourty. So there you have it. All right. Got to take a quick timeout. More of your calls coming up on the other side. 641-1010 is the number. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier from Jaguars.com. Fat Tony here with you. It is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. He's in demand, ladies and gentlemen. He's a senior writer from Jaguars.com, Mr. Johnny O. And no, he's not getting up that early tomorrow. All right? The only thing he gets up early for is Jaguars Today. And don't you forget it. All the rest of that stuff, he's hitting send. He has that thing, that ozone thing. Tony's scheduled like a week in advance. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly when Thursdays is going to post.
Yeah, we'll see.
Isn't that right, Johnny?
Yeah, all right.
He's having a good time with you. PFT, Pro Football Talk. Everyone's favorite site, he says with a heavy dose of sarcasm. But a good rumor mill nonetheless. And reporting just moments ago, we're just talking about Jared Odrick. And it said, according to unofficially, I'll put it this way, quote, unofficially, the expectation per multiple league sources is that Jared Odrick of the Miami Dolphins defensive tackle will land with the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow. You can look at it as the Ndamukong Suh consolation prize, whatever the case may be. It is interesting to me. It's already a strength of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Marks hurt, okay, and Miller hurt, we expect Miller to be ready for training camp at the latest.
Sure.
And Marks, it's not a career-ending injury.
It's not, but, you know, again, realistically, I have faith in Sendarek's work ethic, his ability, but he injured that thing.
It's going to impact him.
In the last week of the regular season, it's hard to imagine him being 100% in the old Sendarek in the first 6-7 games of the year.
But I mean, they've talked about how much they like Avery Jones.
Sure.
They thought Ziggy Hood played pretty well last year.
Well,
right?
Off the air, Tony mentioned the Seattle model. With this line, they believe in having a lot of good players up front. And if you're going to add another good player up front to that mix, there's not going to be any harm once Sendarek returns to full strength in having another good player there. It's okay to have more good players at a position than the number that can start.
True. I understand that. Right. It comes down to where you allocate your resources.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jags are nowhere near a point where they need to be overly concerned.
Right.
But you always have to balance this stuff.
This is more of the type of level that you're going to be able to improve your team. You get a couple of guys like this, there's an argument made that that's better than, you know, overspending at another spot. Or there's no reason this can't be as productive as overspending on Saturday?
Possibly, sure. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's going to be as productive as getting Ndamukong Suh, but only one team can sign Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
You're getting nothing wrong. I'm not knocking this if they do, in fact, sign Odrick. I'm not knocking it at all. You know, I just hope, again, it's one more piece to a much larger plan, and obviously it is. You know, I had one tweet a minute ago, and that because today's question is which guy that they're going to miss out on are you most disappointed in? And
all of them.
Jake Sneed tweeted, none. They know what they're doing in the front office. Well, what they're doing, they knew what they were doing when they made a concerted effort to sign Devin McCourty. I'm sure they're disappointed that they didn't get Devin McCourty. So it doesn't mean the Jags front office doesn't know what they're doing if they can't get all these people. But clearly, they were interested in McCourty. We think they're interested in Cobb. Out the window. So, Tony, what's new?
Ian Rappaport, and I clicked just to make sure this was actually Ian Rappaport. All
right. It's but not Ian Ratador?
It's not, it's not Rap Sheel. What is it? Rap Sheel, I think, is his fake Twitter account.
No, but Ian Rappaport, certified over close to 600,000 followers, says former Cowboys swing tackle Jeremy Parnell has told friends he plans to head to the Jaguars.
Yes.
Sources say.
That would be awesome. Seriously, because we talked about this guy. And look, Bulaga, I still think I put him out there at the beginning of the offseason, really in the beginning part of the playoffs.
So Bulaga is not.
I want Bulaga would be my preference. But if they like Parnell, they need to get a right tackle. Okay, they need to get a guy who can come in with some starting experience that presumably walks in the door with a foot up to start at right tackle. Okay. Bulaga, I think, is the best player out there. He's also going to be a lot more expensive. He has an injury history. I'd sign him. I have no problem signing Brian Bulaga. But I this is where I would put my trust in the front office that I'm sure they're balancing. All right, here's what Bulaga is, pluses and minuses. Here's what we're going to pay him. Here's all this. And what is the market going to be? Could we make a run at him like we did with McCourty and have him leave us holding the bag? Possible, okay. Or do we maybe simultaneously take a look at Parnell over here, who for people who don't know who he is, he filled in for Doug Free last year when he got hurt, and the Cowboy offensive line didn't seem to miss a beat. In fact, some people even said they thought he played better in relief of Doug Free than Doug Free had played. Doug Free re-upped with the Cowboys on a 3-year deal. After sitting out there, he was eligible to be signed because his contract didn't expire. He got released because it was not a great team-friendly cap situation with the deal. So they got a new deal done with him. So Parnell then becomes an extra piece to the Dallas Cowboys. So if the Jags could pick him up, right, now you're looking at...
Which his friends think they're going to.
Right, right. His, well...
Sounds like, right, Tony?
Parnell thinks... I mean, was it friends of Parnell that...
It was friends of Parnell that he's spoken to. He's saying, I'm going to Jacksonville.
Okay, I mean, look, this... We're only in the rumor stage on any of this stuff. So that seems to be, you know, a pretty... declarative. That's not
that's
like
better than hearing it from Adarn Schefter,
right? Or it's better than hearing, "Hey, Jags just interested in Parnell." This is a source close to Parnell, you know, indicates that he thinks he's coming to Jacksonville. So you could potentially have a new right tackle, and maybe not the one you thought of all along, but a new right tackle.
I was about to say, how good a friend is he with DeMarco?
Right. We'll take that guy. Julius Thomas coming in. It looks like Odrick. It looks like is coming in, right? So another good player on the defensive line who, again, all these guys, by the way, all fit the model. They're all mid to later 20s, all right? Odrick is, I believe, 27 years old. And then, like Tony just said, hey, DeMarco, why don't you follow Parnell? You followed him behind that line this year. Why don't you follow him over to Jacksonville?
50 minutes ago, I said I thought there was a better chance of Murray than Bulaga. I'll stand by that.
Well, I think those chances are increasing right now, or decreasing in the case of Bulaga. So we'll see. Again, none of this is official. And the reason, you know, Duval Doom tweeted, he goes, well, how come you guys are classifying it as the nothing's done with Julius Thomas, yet everyone's saying Sue is done? Well, there's so many details of the contract with Sue. Like, here's the amount of guaranteed money. Here's the way the contract's going to be structured. And there's been no hint of anything to the contrary. Everything else has been, for the most part, signs point to the Jaguars signing Julius Thomas. Denver Post this morning, Tony, posted some numbers.
They said that they
numbers.
Are expecting the contract to be somewhere around 5 years for $45
million. And that could be a totally speculative guess based on what he was looking for as well. So, whatever. We'll take it. I mean, I'll take any news. if the Jags sign somebody in the first couple days, to me, that's a guy they really want. Right? Because mm-hmm. you're not going to sit there. You're not going to sign the Ziggy Hoods. Those are guys you let the market settle. You pluck them off, and they'll still probably sign a few of those guys as well. But, John, I mean, if they could go out and get a right tackle and a new starting tight end, defensive lineman, and who knows with Murray. I mean, if they could get Murray and add that to the mix, there's going to be some level of disappointment from some people that it wasn't Cobb, it wasn't McCourty, it wasn't the guy I wanted. But
right.
I find hard to find fault with. I mean, that seems like a pretty major
shift. That's going to be
shift.
You're going to get that in every fan base.
Oh, sure.
But if you look at the facts of that, if those guys are indeed heading to Jacksonville, it's hard to objectively look at it and say they didn't go out and make a concerted effort to get better.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's all you can say for sure this time of year is that that's what they're trying to do.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick timeout. And you're right. That's a good point to highlight because I know you saw that plenty this weekend, people suggesting that they're not trying hard enough. Like, you can try all you want. You can have all
the... I got emails. I got some that were actually saying, why is Dave sitting on his hands? Well, I wasn't around Dave. I think he was probably working the phones.
Right. And, you know, guess who else is probably working
evidence
the phones?
Evidence would suggest that he was working the phones.
I would imagine the Oakland Raiders were working the phones, right? And they have second only to Jacksonville the most cap money in the league, right?
Right.
They didn't get Randall Cobb, who some people thought...
not always going to know the plan by reading Twitter at 4 p.m. on Saturday, 3 days before free agency.
No. Sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do. You do. And that little nod.
I don't know. I sit there and I listen to you guys on Monday morning complain about what Twitter was doing on 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Right.
I was coaching soccer at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
And coaching it well.
Oh, I was. I was coaching it well, except for we tied 3-3 thanks to an own goal that we scored for the other team.
Did they compete, though?
They competed well. They competed well, but we gave up the first one, just gave it to them, kicked it into our own goal. What the heck are we doing? And then the last one, we're up 3-2. We're in our defensive shell, and they just
so
let
you're
a ball
the guy
go.
Shouting after the game, I want winners.
I want winners, all right? You know, first prize is a new car. Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize, you're cut.
Yep.
All right, you can't play on this team.
Hey. Do your job!
That's right. Stop it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. This date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. Keep your eyes peeled, your ears open, because the rumors and speculation come in hot and heavy right now. Julius Thomas, said to be a future Jacksonville Jaguar. As of tomorrow, Jared Odrick, heavy rumors that he will become a Jacksonville Jaguar. Now Jeremy Parnell, significant rumors to the same that he will become a Jacksonville Jaguar. I guess we'll find out officially tomorrow at 4 o'clock or whenever the ozone breaks the official news on Jaguars.com. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. On this date, 1965, March the 9th, Brian Bosworth was born.
The Boz.
How many guys, I mean, Bosworth known for more than one thing, but if you ask, you know, what is the most glaring thing Brian Bosworth's known for, what would you say?
Bo Jackson,
him trucking him, right? Yep. I mean, he's known for the hair. He's known for the steroids. He's a great college player. How many games did you think he played in the NFL, John?
45.
24.
So I was 21 off.
You were a little off. Nice. You're a little over. But Brian Bosworth did not play much. Lewis Oliver, also born in this state in 1966.
Lewis Oliver's a good player.
Oh, a hell of a player. But the Boz goes down with that ignominious reputation of just getting run over. I mean, I remember Steve Atwater and Christian Okoye having a big to-do, and Atwater got the better of Okoye in that one. But it wasn't the only thing. You don't think of Christian Okoye, at least I don't. That's not the first thing I think of. Sean Merriman, I guess, getting dumped by Maurice Jones-Drew. The further we get removed from his heyday as a really good player. Thing was, wasn't he defensive player of the year in like his second year in the league with San Diego?
Yeah, he was dominant for a short time.
Right, and it must have been all the roids, because that's what he got busted for, right?
Something happened.
Hey, Colts, by the way, enough. with the cheating up there in Indianapolis, again with LaRon Landry. I mean, just look at the guy. Very surprising that LaRon Landry was found to be on performance-enhancing drugs with that physique. Unbelievable. All right. This state football history brought to you by the best fence company of Jacksonville. Whether you need fencing for your home or your place of business, your family's going to feel protected. You'll breathe easier knowing that the best fence company installed your new fence. Best Fence provides a professional free estimate at your convenience if you call them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, here we go. The Oakland Raiders and free agent center Rodney Hudson of the Kansas City Chiefs have agreed on a deal, 5 years, $44.5 million reportedly spent there for the free agent center. The Bills and Jerry Hughes, the pass rusher, have agreed to a new 5-year deal for $45 million, with somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million guaranteed for Jerry Hughes. Torrey Smith, who wrote a goodbye Baltimore blog yesterday, is expected to land in San Francisco. Jeremy Maclin is expected to sign with Kansas City tomorrow and reunite with his former head coach Andy Reid for $11 million a year, reportedly for the wide receiver. Philadelphia expected to bring in running back Frank Gore on a 3-year deal, as well as cornerback Byron Maxwell. The Eagles have also re-signed quarterback Mark Sanchez. Brian Hoyer is expected to sign in Houston, and the Texans have agreed to a new 2-year deal with quarterback Ryan Mallett. Colin Kaepernick, speaking of quarterbacks, may or may not be on the trade market, and the Chicago Bears may or may not be interested in trading for him. It depends on where you look and what you read. Maybe the dominoes fall in place, and the Bears trade for Kaepernick, waive Jay Cutler, and Cutler signs with, I don't know, the Tennessee Titans. Again, that all depends on the validity of the 49ers actually trying to trade a quarterback they signed to a long-term extension here very recently. And 49ers linebacker Pat Willis could be looking to retire.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. Patrick Willis, a hell of a player when he was healthy. At one point, considered the best inside linebacker in the National Football League. Injuries have certainly taken away a lot of his effectiveness. But they have Chris Borland, who they drafted last year, played very well. And they're hoping to get a full-strength Navarro Bowman back this year. So we shall see. Guys, that to recap some of what Tony's saying, some of the bigger-name guys that have re-signed or agreed to re-sign with their team. Randall Cobb, Devin McCourty, Mark Ingram, Jerry Hughes, Niles Paul, another one, a little bit under the radar, but not that guy only would have become a factor here if they weren't able to land one of the guys ahead of him on the list, such as the Julius Thomas. So we're operating under the assumption right now that Julius Thomas will become a Jacksonville Jaguar. That's what it is, an assumption until it's official. But Niles Paul would have been an interesting fallback position somewhere down the line.
And a few more reports. Ryan O'Halloran just retweeted Clarence Hill, who's a Dallas media guy, that sources are saying 5 years at about 6.5 a year for Parnell. So that sounds more, sounds like
more concrete.
The friends were right, it sounds like.
So. And look, that's what it comes down to.
That's what friends are for.
Somebody knows. Like Byron Maxwell comes out and says, yeah, I'm going to Philly. I got a deal done. His agent's like, whoa. Hey, Byron, we're not allowed to have deals done right now. No deals are done. No deals are done. Right. And no, we haven't set up any visits because I'm not allowed to do that either. But when we're allowed to set up visits, Philly will be at the top of our list. Oh, you think so? You want to talk about a guy that I think is getting more overpaid. LeSean McCoy at least has been at times
arguably a dynamic player.
The best guy. I mean, he led the league in rushing 2 seasons ago, the season before this past one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at Byron Maxwell, nice player, good measurables. His measurables are excellent, you know, but what's he getting? It's
I don't know.
$10 million plus a year from Philly. I guess he's the best guy in the market, and those guys get overpaid. It just seems a little bit out of whack.
No, it does. And I didn't watch Kerry Williams closely last year, but I don't know how much better a player Byron Maxwell is at this point in his career than Kerry Williams was for him last year. Look, the Eagles had problems on defense last year. I get trying to address it. I don't know how much better they got signing Maxwell and cutting Williams.
And I don't know if this is true or not, but Tony, we've seen all the scuttlebutt about, you know, the way Chip Kelly is going about reorganizing that organization, that franchise's roster. Oof. That Kerry Williams was one of these outspoken guys, that Chip wants Chip Kelly guys who are on board, yes, sir, this is where we're headed.
It better work.
And it better work. I mean, look.
I'll give Chip credit for this. You know, if he's going to go down, he's going to go down his way.
We got a front row seat to it right here.
And the Eagles handed him the reins to basically do that this offseason.
Yeah.
They said, all right, do it your way. Let's see what happens
right
with this. and they could crash and burn fantastically.
Interesting to me that with the re-signing of Mark Sanchez to a two-year deal, it at least...
Sanchez.
Well, it opens up the possibility that if they do make a move up, that they use Foles as a trade piece in a deal, such as with the New York Jets at number six, which has been rumored that that may be a spot. I know a lot of Jag fans would like to see them get a blockbuster deal from Philadelphia to maybe drop down to number 20, but it makes a lot of sense when you sit there and say, okay, we'll hang on to Foles for now, but when draft day comes, if we're in position to trade up and get Mariota and we can use Foles as a piece, we have Sanchez to bridge the gap. He's played in this offense now and played fairly decently last year, and we can get by with that. So we'll see how that all works out. Players agreeing with new teams to this point, we've got Ndamukong Suh, and these are notable guys, at least, that have been on the Jaguar radar.
Sure.
At least some people hope they would be. Ndamukong Suh looks like he's going to Miami. Jeremy Maclin going to Kansas City. Torrey Smith going to the 49ers, where what did we catch there? 45, 47 balls? I mean,
maybe.
It's interesting.
So Crabtree's the man in free agency right now.
He has become the man in free agency. Byron Maxwell going to Philly along with Frank Gore. Rodney Hudson, that's the one guy the Raiders have apparently worked out a deal to make him the highest paid center in the league.
That was about 5 years, $45 million. It's a lot.
It is. But again, you know what? I saw an anonymous agent, Tony, that I forget who quoted this.
As opposed to all the agents who are putting their names out there this weekend?
Well, there are some putting their names on there, but that said that there are teams that still are trying to operate as if the salary cap's $123 million, that some of the offers he was listening to this weekend are the parameters of what they're willing to pay.
Right, parameters.
Yes, not offers, John. But, you know, and that's the thing. We sit there and say, well, that seems like a ton of money for a center. But if the salary cap's 143 and soon expected to go up to as much as like $160 million when the new TV money starts rolling in, every year that becomes a smaller percentage of the cap.
Oh, I get it, you know? Which is why I was fine with, you know, if you wind up having to spend $10, $11 million on Randall Cobb or Jeremy Maclin
right.
or Julius Thomas, fine. I mean, that's whatever the top guy's being paid is not what the top guy is going to be paid in the next two or three years as the cap keeps going up and up and up and up.
I need to rework my parameters.
Right. You pay what you have to pay to get the guy in if you believe in the guy as a player. That's what the Raiders are doing. It's still a lot of money to sink on that position, but they have money. Just like here in Jacksonville, the DeMarco Murray thing. Am I usually a proponent of going out and signing a running back in free agency? No. But I don't see a big downside to the Jaguars being in on DeMarco Murray.
Right. Could it, you say, oh, you know what? He's not as effective this year. By the way, second half of the year, go look at his splits. First eight games, last eight games. He did tail off in the second half of the season. Now, could be more. It's not necessarily just him. Could be the way teams are defending them. But his numbers were not as explosive in the second half of the season. But he was, again, led the league in rushing. He's 27 years old. There's plenty of reasons to like the pursuit, even if it turns out to, you know, a couple of years down the line that you're overpaying him. Well, you take a one-time cap hit
right.
when you got plenty of cap space. And as we looked at, Tony, we were talking about it last week, there's plenty of cap space projected for the next several years
yes.
for this football team.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, they're not having to look at – they're so young. I mean, they're so young that they're not having to look at any contracts really, not this offseason, not really next year. It's in 2 years that they'll have to look at anybody on their own team and having to worry about bringing them back into the fold. So that gives them a lot of flexibility here with these free agents for the next couple of years to organize those contracts the way they want. That's why they bring in a guy like John Idzik to help them out because of the situation specifically this team was in and how to spend this money.
Somebody that's called Tyler said they just, I didn't know, I guess there's an app for everything, but they have a Bleacher Report app, okay, and that app gave them an update saying that the Seattle Seahawks are going to make a late push to sway Julius Thomas to come play in the Pacific Northwest. So we'll see. That's what we keep telling you. Not done until it's done. So I guess don't count your chickens yet, but I think it's hard at this point for Jaguar fans to not count that particular chicken, right? Because he's a guy you've been rumored to be interested in. You hope that he makes a perfect logical fit. You hope they'd be interested in him. You hope they'd be able to land him if they were, in fact, aggressive in pursuing him. And now that you're on the eve of free agency and all the reports have indicated that he's coming your way, I think you just got to wait and hope for the best that it holds up at this point in time. All right, 641-1010. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back with more of your calls next. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. There is a subset of football fans out there that think every moment you need to be working on your craft, right? What is this guy doing at such and such an event? Or why am I hearing about him? He should be studying film, right? Well, in the case of Tyson Alualu, he's putting that Jaguar money to good use. He's working out right now.
That's right.
So we're hopeful to have him on the show tomorrow and welcome him back to Jacksonville. Never left, really. But, you know, Tyson's a good story, isn't he, for a guy that came in with so little goodwill, none of it his fault.
Right.
Because you had the Tebowites that just didn't matter who you took. They were going to be upset.
Right.
You had the whole who aspect right. of it, that this guy in very few projections was expected to go that high. You had the fact that you had a team like Denver, who's right near the Jags in the draft, who was able to trade down multiple times in the draft when going mm-hmm. into it.
We thought
you know, that it was one of Gene Smith's priorities, maybe accumulate some more draft picks. And so Tyson gets selected by the Jags 10th overall, comes in, gets hurt in the Oklahoma drill, never as effective in his rookie season as he might have been, but never has missed a game. Has been a solid guy, and by most indications, played as well or better than Red Bryant did in his role last year. Very solid against the run in particular, and occasionally gives you a little pass rush.
And had one, I forget which year it was, but there was one year where he played 16 games, and it was an absolute miracle that he played. You know, and I get, he's probably not ever going to be a top 10 selected level player, but he's been a very good player for this franchise for a long time. He's going to continue to be.
He's versatile.
Yeah.
Right? He can play several different positions, and you can plug him in there. You're going to get good effort out of the guy. He's just a solid player, and good for him that, you know, he gets a second contract here in Jacksonville, which, boy, you never would have thought a couple of years ago it was headed towards that.
No.
Glad to see that he's made his mark, so hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him about that tomorrow. Tony, what's the latest?
Chris Perkins, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel down there in South Florida, had just put up an article that says Dolphins defensive tackle Jared Ogrick has agreed to terms on a contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars, according to an NFL source. The deal is expected to be in the range of $7 million a year, although the terms haven't been disclosed yet, but at least according to the guys covering the team down there, the deal was done with Jared Ogrick and the Jags.
There you have it. According to South Florida Sun Sentinel, Chris Perkins, huh?
Yep.
The always quotable Chris Perkins. of course, I'm sure, you know, we do that all the time, and I'm sure they're thinking the same thing about us. So, hey, you know what? Dominoes lining up, and maybe we'll be tipping over
right.
tomorrow.
Omar Kelly's on that story, too. It's a double byline story. But, yeah, I mean, it's all indications are that Jared Odor is going to be a Jaguar.
All right, there you go. Here's one.
And that's not from his friends. That's from a source.
Correct.
Maybe the source is
for all we know, Omar Kelly acts like he's best friends with everybody in the league,
sure.
by the way. Omar Kelly's pretty happy with himself, if you read his Twitter account from time to time.
Says Mike Dempsey, who's not happy with himself.
Oh, I am pleased. I can spot that trait in another human being, John. Trust me, I know. I like me more than anybody likes me.
Okay.
All right, no, there's no. My
you
wife
love
doesn't
you
like
you.
Me half as much as I do. I'd marry myself if I could.
Yeah, I'd.
This one from Winston Overton, WJ Overton on Twitter. What are your thoughts if Justin Blackmon were back to have someone like Crabtree as a mentor? What? Michael Crabtree is a mentor? Have you followed the history of Michael Crabtree? I mean, the word diva is often associated with wide receivers, oftentimes with good reasons, because the top guys that perform very well act like them. He's a guy that acts like he's a top guy.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's making the connection, played together, you know, knew each other. I don't know.
Crabtree didn't play with him.
No.
Who are you thinking of? You thinking of Dez?
Yeah, no.
All right.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
that was well played, sir.
Yeah.
But not, either way, Crabtree is not the mentor type. I'm not a big fan of the whole mentor aspect being much of a factor in free agency. If it's a bonus, you throw it in. Hey, Red Bryant and Chris Clements came in last year, and we played in this defense. We can help you out. We can teach you a few tricks. Number one, through nine in your list of 10 things is, can you play?
Sure. Right? And with that being said, look, having Blackman back would be wonderful. And if the team goes out and signs Michael Crabtree, by the way, I'm for that too. Like, I don't think I'm interested in Michael Crabtree because of the impact I think he can have on Justin Blackman. If I'm interested in Michael Crabtree, it's because I think he makes my wide receiver core better if I bring him in the role that he can play in my offense. That's why you sign Crabtree.
All right, let's get a couple calls here going. 641-1010. Derek, you are up next on 1010XL. How are you?
Hey, man, how's it going this morning?
What's up?
Good, good. Yeah, that's good. Y'all talking about Michael Crabtree, but I was looking at the receiver core and whatnot. You believe that the Jaguars might have a good chance of making a deal with him?
Crabtree? I'm sorry. Is that what we just said? Do they have a chance? I mean, I haven't heard any connection of anybody with Michael Crabtree.
Me
really.
Either.
I mean, I haven't heard any speculation. I haven't gotten any sense that Jags are interested in Michael Crabtree. And
he's been a name some guys have thrown out, but not anything.
More along the lines of if they miss out on this,
right.
They may turn their attention there, right? And at least that's the way it seemed to me. I don't know. You know, I'm looking for, with Cobb, you get a guy, if you were to go after Randall Cobb, that has shown the ability to get deep.
Mm-hmm.
He can play underneath. He's very versatile. You can envision him impacting his teams in ways that they don't really have right now.
Right.
With Crabtree, I'm not saying he's not further along than Allen Robinson, but I see some similarities. I don't think Crabtree's
right.
a pure deep threat. He's more of a possession guy, bigger, you know, physical type, decent run after the catch kind of guy. And I don't know if that's as much a priority with this team as a Cobb or a Macklin would have been.
No, I mean, if you could have gotten one of those top couple of guys, then it made perfect sense. Again, once you don't, you have to be smart and say, just because a guy has a name or just because he's the next guy on the list or a guy you've heard of, don't necessarily think that that's going to be the next play. It wouldn't surprise you for them to still go after a veteran receiver, but it doesn't have to be a name of somebody that you've seen on TV in the playoffs.
Let's go to Glenn next up here this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, guys. Let me preface my comment and question to you guys with the fact that I've been a season ticket holder with the Jaguars since day one, and I'm a huge fan and supporter. And I've enjoyed your coverage, too, the last week. You know, you guys have done a great job of you know, talking about the free agency and things. My comment and my question concerns perception. And, you know, I have my Jaguar glasses, and I love my Jaguars, but, you know, I can't see us for how and who we really are and how we're perceived in other places, especially when I travel and talk to other people. And I think that affects free agency also. I never thought we were going to get any of these high-profile guys, and not because we're a bad franchise or any of the negativity, but because we're not somewhere that people desire to come play yet. I think we're a year or two away from that. And when we get there, when we get to that 8-8, when we get to that 9-6, then these high profile free agents, the money is important always, but then we'll put the 1 and 2 big pieces with it to finish it off. You know, I hope we get the tight end from Denver. But I think that what they did last year is more of an example of how we're perceived in the league and also who will come here as a free agent right now. I mean, Mike, if you had your choice to go play in Seattle or here next year, it's a no-brainer, right?
Well, sure it is if you pick Seattle, a team that's been to the Super Bowl for the last 2 years, and they have no state income tax either, but Seattle's not in the same kind of cap situation as Jacksonville. So, yeah, if all else is equal, if the money's equal, I would prefer to play for a team that's been to the Super Bowl for the last couple of years and
of course
shows no sign of taking a step back anytime soon. But I don't necessarily agree. I think you're right to some degree. There's probably some perception from people that don't know, they don't have friends on the Jaguars or don't know people in the organization that maybe it's not the first thing that they think of. But I kind of like what I hear from Devin McCourty, that Devin McCourty is like, wow, I was pretty damn impressed, you know, not only by how serious sure. they were, but they showed me a plan where here's where we think we can be, and here's why we think we can win sooner rather than later. And, you know, Gus is a closer, man. I got to believe, you know, Gus and Dave, those guys are very personable. They're very, you know, they have a vision. They have an energy. You talk to anybody. Tony, I haven't heard, you know, they're very – the biggest negative thing we heard coming out of the locker room last year was – the only thing was Toby Gerhart making some comments along the line, you know, just about the tired of the losing. You know, guys are getting worn. And it wasn't any big horrible thing. It's just the fact that you don't hear anything negative on a team that's won as few games as they have. There's no grumbling. There's no finger pointing. There's none of that. So guys are loving playing here. And you hear, we talk to veterans on the mic and off the mic, and they all tell you the same thing. So there is a bit of a salesmanship job that needs to take place with some of these guys.
That's with any team that's lost for a while. That's
no doubt.
Not an unusual situation.
But it's not seen, if you get to know any of this, we're here every day. You're here every day, John. So we have.
I don't think the perception is just here, though, Mike. I think. Look, I keep going back to this, but the Baltimore game this year, when a guy like Steve Smith, who doesn't say anything he doesn't mean, and he speaks with his heart, that's one of the things we've all liked about Steve Smith over his time in the league, and he said, look, that's a really talented team we played today, and they're doing things the right way. That's a team that's on the rise in this league. That's Steve Smith. He doesn't have to say anything like that about Jacksonville. And then you hear the comments you hear from Devin McCourty. Yeah, if you're going to go back to New England with whatever offer you got potentially in Jacksonville and say, look, this is what Jacksonville's willing to give me, and he decides to go back to New England, you can't blame a guy for something like that.
Randall Cobb had a chance to play with Aaron Rodgers.
Right. 3 years ago, they don't even have that conversation with you in Jacksonville. And the people that you have in place and the feeling about this team around the league, among the players, is giving you an opportunity to go sign a guy like Julius Thomas and potentially be in on Devin McCourty and potentially be in on Randall Cobb. It's changed.
And keep in mind, most of these teams out there are not signing. You're not hearing, wow, one team's got A, B, C, and D, all these four big-name guys. Now, Philly has several players lined up, Frank Gore, apparently, but Frank Gore's not. I mean, he's 32 years old, isn't that Frank? Is Frank 31, 32 years old? Am I off on that, right?
At least.
So it's not like he was as high in the pecking order as some of these other guys. Yeah, they spent a lot of money. I think they overpaid Byron Maxwell, so they got one. Miami's going to get one. The Jags right now are as connected with as many or more free agents from other teams that they may be imminently signing in the next couple of days than anyone in the league right now. I would say, honestly, if you get Parnell, Odrick, and Thomas, just those three,
right,
is another team going to sign three players? Now, you may say, I'd rather just have Sue. That's fine.
Sure.
But in terms of volume of players, is another team that you've heard of signing something comparable?
If you're going to use Sue not coming to Jacksonville as you're I'm not saying that's what this caller did, but if you're going to use that as, well, nobody wants to play in Jacksonville because Sue didn't come to Jacksonville. Well, if that's going to be your argument, then that's what you're going to believe.
No, well, I guess.
I don't necessarily, well, I mean, you can't change that.
Sue also didn't want to go 30 other places.
Right. So, right? I mean,
or however many others were interested.
Just because that didn't happen doesn't make that perception right. And I think everything else, it's going to take time for that quote-unquote national perception to change. But if you're really watching this, I don't think that is driving what we're seeing in free agency.
If the rumors come to fruition of what we're hearing, just on those three guys, right, Thomas, you can't lose him at the last second because he is kind of the centerpiece, whether you get to Marco Murray or not. Julius Thomas, Jeremy Parnell, Jared Odrick, right there. Me personally, and I'm not trying, you can feel however you like. I'm excited. I'm like, wow, that's a lot to get done in the first day or so. And they may not be guys that everyone out there top their wish list, but clearly the team, if they're signing somebody in the first 24 hours of free agency, Tuesday to Wednesday at 4 o'clock, that's a priority for the Jacksonville Jaguars if you signed one of those guys. Anybody in that range. Let's go to Blake up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Blake. How are you?
Sure. Hey, guys. How are y'all?
What's up?
All right. So I'm sure just like myself and all y'all have noticed on Twitter and all that teams have been agreeing to terms with certain players.
Yes.
Well, I just saw a tweet from Shefty saying that the league office is now looking into these certain organizations and what they're going to do, if they're prematurely talking to players before the 4 p.m. deadline tomorrow. it made me think maybe that's why we're not hearing. Maybe the Jaguars are playing it smart, almost obeying the rules of the league, and not making it official or not letting people say it's official with Julius Thomas, because they don't want to fall in that parameter of some of the teams who are prematurely, like say the Dolphins are prematurely agreeing to terms with Ndamukong Suh. My question to you is, what would the penalties be for a team if they're found talking to a player prematurely?
That's a good question. I couldn't tell. I mean, potentially, I mean, it could ultimately lead to a loss of draft picks. More likely, I would think a fine.
It's going to be very difficult, though, because it's really going to be a situation where there's going to be an awful lot of teams.
You have 10 teams that are doing it. And then it's semantics, right? Did we agree, John, or do we have parameters in place?
And I think that's the biggest thing, is it's semantics. That's why I should make it very clear. We're not reporting that these things have happened.
No, they haven't happened. We're reporting on the reports that they are expected to happen. Right. We're not telling you. We can't tell you definitively, and that's why we.
And my guess is most of it's coming from the agents. And if the agents are saying this, then there's very little that the teams can do to make them not say it. Some of it too is the reporting. Like when you see a tweet saying "quote unquote" agreed to terms, well, that's what the reporter is using, but the team and the agent may not be using that term. So just bear in mind, there's a lot of semantics. I'm sure the league will look into it. You wouldn't expect there to be a very strong penalty in the situation, because I don't know how a team doesn't pursue heavily right now, because you're going to fall behind if you don't. I guess is what I'm getting at.
Right. Do it now, and then worry about the consequences later when everybody else is going to be in the same boat. I don't think anyone's going to lose any draft picks over this. I think I could see teams getting fined. So what?
I could see them trying to rework some of the wording.
Possibly.
Next year.
Sure.
Because it's difficult not to get involved, because if you're not involved right now, then you're out of it.
Yeah.
So you better be doing something.
Right. Now, I mean, you could
better,
I guess,
really
stay,
be parametering.
You could stay with and say, look, we're thinking of, you know, we would be, the parameters we'd be looking at for a receiver such as X would be 4 years, $50 million. I mean, it's such an obvious, you know, your cover up that you're saying we're ready to give you 4 years, $50 million. That's what it is.
Theoretically.
Wink, wink. I mean, come on.
I didn't wink. You
winked. I winked, but they're all winking right now. If they're not winking, they're probably not doing their job. All right. We will come back and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, which asks you, among the big name guys expected to remain with their teams or sign with other teams, at least what's been reported, who are you most disappointed that the Jags are looking like they'll miss out on? Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between, including semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. Visit them online at guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or visit them in person at South Lane Avenue. Call them at 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. Back with the fan feedback spotlight, Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony on 1010XL 92.5 FM. It's interesting.
Look at Tony Smith taunting the fans right now.
Why is
on Twitter?
On Twitter, what he taunting?
Finish up Jaguar
why
today.
Why are you always taunting Jaguar fans like that, Tony?
How is that taunting?
You're just stirring it up.
That's not stirring anything up.
That's poking the hornet's nest with a stick.
What do you do?
As we finish up Jaguars today, potentially Julius Thomas, Jeremy Parnell, Jared Odrick coming, maybe DeMarco Murray still a possibility. How you feeling, Jack? How's that stirring anything up?
How you feeling now?
How you like us now?
I wasn't like, you didn't get Sue or McCourty, jabrones. Like, how do you feel about this?
You just weren't going to get every guy that you targeted. And I think, as Mike said in the last segment, Thomas, Parnell, and Odrick, if that happens, pretty good little day.
That's more active than most teams will be in the first day
right.
or so. It's funny, ESPN at ESPN NFL tweeted out parameters, again, parameters, right, of the Parnell deal. It says Jags have agreed to terms with Parnell on a five-year, $32 million deal. I'm quite sure the Jags would tell you nothing's official. But regardless, okay? So
those are the parameters.
I clicked on that Twitter report, and just to see the replies to that, it is so delightful. You know, to see the Colts fans going, wait a minute, we're the only team not making any moves in this league. Right. The Jags are signing this guy. Why aren't we getting this guy? And it's so
which if you take
funny.
Colts out and insert Jaguars, yes! That was my inbox last night.
Yes, yes. That's kind of my point. I think there are probably teams all over the league, and we don't care about how the rest of them feel, and I get that. Right. But if you were out in Oakland, you'd be like, I guess we settled for Rodney Hudson because we couldn't get Cobb or Julius Thomas either, and on and on it goes.
Yeah, and it was the same way with Julius Thomas, with the rumors being out there that he's coming to Jacksonville. It's nothing done yet, but the rumors coming out yesterday that he's coming to Jacksonville, and watching the reaction from the public to Julius Thomas and Jacksonville. I mean, it's hilarious to me. All these people like, well, good luck. You're going to be lousy the rest of your career. What a terrible mistake. You've screwed up the rest of your life by choosing to go to Jacksonville. It's like, guys, like, it's so ridiculous, just the over-the-top nature of the reaction of fans to this kind of day. Look, if you're in Jacksonville, be excited about what you get. Hope your team gets better. That's all you can ask.
Right, this whole he's not going to be as good without Peyton Manning. Okay, fine. Is he better than what you had, and will he help Blake Bortles become
That's all you're looking for. That
you
is
go.
The whole idea.
Is he going to score you touchdowns? Yes, he is. A lot of questions. Hey, we'll get to the fan feedback question in a moment, but a lot of questions that I don't think we've addressed them necessarily on the air. I got several on Twitter, a couple callers that couldn't hang on, John, asking what happens, if anything, with Mercedes Lewis. How do you see this playing out?
Well, my guess is if he's back, it would be at a reduced deal. But, that's just looking at the speculation. It's looking at it logically. I think there's a lot to be said for having Mercedes and a Julius Thomas on the field at the same time. I like a two tight end offense. I still like what Mercedes can give you. I know you're a little less enthusiastic about that, but it would make sense if it's at a reduced rate.
Again, if you don't have to have the money, if the money is not keeping you from going out there and adding another piece to the puzzle, you need a linebacker
right.
or something like that, then I think it becomes a possibility, but of Mercedes not being back in any form or fashion, but Julius Thomas is not known for being the most physical guy. He's a big receiver who plays tight end. He's a big body. He's a matchup problem, particularly in the red zone, and he will help your football team.
But he's not a blocking tight end.
No, he's not.
If that's your cliche that you use, and that's not what he is.
And you know what? Fewer and further between to find those guys that are all around both excel at everything, and those guys typically are perennial pro bowlers.
I don't think he's really a safety net guy either. Everybody always says, you got to have a safety net with a tight end. I think he's a guy who acts as a receiver and makes you better at that spot. I mean, clearly makes you better, gives you more weapons in the passing game.
Safety net has that connotation that, okay, nobody else is open. Let me look in the middle, and there's that big tight end just standing there waving his hands. That's what it always seems like to me.
Right, but that's sort of the buzzword that you hear whenever a team signs a receiving tight end.
Sure.
I think he's a guy, if it happens, if these parameters come to fruition, that makes you better and makes you more dynamic offensively. It's certainly what you hope.
And don't get me wrong, Blake Bortles extends plays the way he's capable of doing. He will find Julius Thomas at times after extending the play, and the play breaks down, and that'll be great as well. But they will look for ways to scheme to get him the football.
But it felt more like Allen Robinson was kind of the developing safety net for Blake Bortles last year. Look, you just need a guy that your quarterback feels is a reliable target. And on a team right now that's full of third down backs, let Julius Thomas be a tight end that can stretch the field for you a little bit and create some space for guys like Denard Robinson or Toby Gerhart or whoever else is playing running back for you coming out of the backfield.
Fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Tony, today we asked, presuming all the reports are correct, and Dominican Sue's going to Miami, Randall Cobb and Devin McCourty re-upping with the Packers and Patriots respectively, which big-name guy that the Jags look to be missing out on are you most disappointed that they won't land? What do we get?
From Major 904, we got McCourty, for show. Needed that top center fielder. From Nick, McCourty, we need that free safety to solidify our defense. From at Irish Jaguar, McCourty, we need a great free safety to allow the rest of our secondary to be great. From Michael McCourty, there's no standout free safety in this year's draft. From Michael McCourty, instant upgrade to a defense that a position of need, Super Bowl winner to boot. From Brian, no doubt it's Devin McCourty, but turn that frown upside down and get Julius DeMarco and Bulaga. Well, it's not going to be Bulaga, but Parnell, hopefully that's good enough for you, Brian. From Paul, we got Cobb. Jags need a veteran difference-making wide receiver as much as anything. Might as well re-sign Cecil. Ugh, is what Paul had to say. From Eric, disappointed we missed McCourty, but more upset over the Bragans selling the Suns. And from Rico Suave, for me it has to be McCourty. Huge need, big-time player.
All right, the Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you daily by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, including Tom Bush Volkswagen. With gas prices on the rise again, is it time maybe for you to consider driving a diesel? Volkswagen, the number one selling diesel car brand in America. And this year, Volkswagen Golf won the North American Car of the Year, and the Volkswagen Golf family won the Motor Trend Car of the Year award as well. You can check them out at Tom Bush Volkswagen, or check out the entire family of dealerships online at TomBush.com. Follow them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors for all the latest deals from the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. And thanks to the Jags for making this Monday show fly right by having a bunch of cap space and being willing to at least attempt to spend it, John.
It was truly a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday.
Very smooth. Very, very smooth as always,
hey,
on that score.
Professional radio.
What are you doing on Jaguars.com as we approach free agency opening up now about 28 hours away?
My understanding is that today we're going to have a Jags of the Round Table around our traditional square table. And I'm sure we'll talk some free agency. People are doing.
Yeah, let's do it. I will be listening intently to the Knights of the Round Table.
I'm sure
Jags
you will.
Of the Round Table, Jags of the Square Table.
Got a little golf plan this afternoon, do you?
I might. Right. I kind of, you know, I played so badly yesterday, so poorly. I want to get rid of that stigma that I'm carrying around today.
You're trying to turn that smile upside down?
I'm going to try to try absolutely my best to get that accomplished. So we'll see. What the Jags are able to get accomplished, what becomes official, looking more and more like Jeremy Parnell, Jared Odrick, Julius Thomas. Let's keep our fingers crossed that all those hold up, if in fact those reports are accurate, and see who else the Jags may get in on. Ultimately, you think they make a play for DeMarco Murray, successful or not? Do you think they make an overture to DeMarco Murray?
I think they're going to stay in it and see where it goes.
Like be in touch, find out what the market is. They've got a number. If you're willing to play here for this number, we're going to be in it, but we're not going to go beyond.
That's the best
way
I can describe it.
We'll find out.
My thoughts on
exciting times. Good luck to UNF, and congrats to them. The Ospreys making the NCAA men's basketball tournament yesterday, and mm-hmm. I don't know if I've watched a college basketball game from start to finish this year. Other than that one yesterday against South Carolina Upstate, pretty exciting the way it went down, and quite a scene over there. And that's where the boys of XL Primetime are at the UNF golf tournament, I believe, today. Scobie tweeting out he's playing in that today as well, and as well as I'm sure a lot of other local luminaries. So that's what's coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. For John Ogier, read him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. For Fat Tony and Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Tomorrow, it gets underway for real with free agency opening up. That does it for Jaguars today. We'll talk to you on Tuesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.